players in markets got nervous and were moving away from stocks early today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Chinese stock market was terrible today. Share prices in Europe were running weak, and in early trading in the U.S. time zones, the S&P 500 was down nearly 1%. Let us go through this catalog of dread. On Tuesdays, we check in with Smithmore & Company's Julie Neiman, the analyst from the heartland. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
A lot of things on the minds of market players today. We have Greece, word of a general election, potential political instability roiling the markets in Europe.
You've got snap presidential elections here because Greece actually only has 2-month extension on their debt. Reforms have to take place and they can't survive without a bailout.
China reined in lending last night. You can no longer use some bonds as collateral if you're borrowing. Now, the key index on the stock market in Shanghai fell more than 5% overnight.
And we've seen these huge credit problems going on in real estate for some time. Also, all the industries tied to it. So we're seeing a major correction in China simply because of this overlending.
All right. Add to that, oil companies adjusting to the low price of oil. We're starting to hear about cuts that the oil companies are making in their expenditures for next year.
And this is going to be big time because we're saying this morning that Conoco is cutting back their capital expenditure by about 20%. There's no way with the global economy slowing down that the Fed will hike interest rates anytime soon. On the positive side, we're seeing a very significant decrease in costs and we'll be seeing a very huge drop in commodity costs.
All right. Well, we'll see if the market players start listening to this last part of the analysis tomorrow, because it doesn't seem like it's happening today. Julie Neiman at Smithmore & Company in St. Louis, thank you.
You bet.
Also, federal regulators are proposing that 8 of the biggest banks set aside more easily accessible capital as a cushion against the unknown. It's a way to prevent some future federal bailout, and the Federal Reserve is meeting today on this topic. Among early reactions, Bank of America's CEO said today his company can handle this, but its stock is down 2.25% now. This year's flu vaccine is not a great match for the type of flu that's going around. It still protects people from some flus, but maybe not the big one. Influenza takes an $87 billion bite out of the U.S. economy in an average year. What about this year? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Every year, federal scientists make a bet on the flu. They try to figure out the dominant flu strain. Vaccine makers make a flu shot to fight that strain.
And in some years, the prediction is on the mark, and in some years, the prediction is further away from the mark.
That's Bruce Lee, an associate professor of international health at Johns Hopkins. He says this year, the vaccine is off the mark, which probably means more flu.
We'll see more cases this year and more severe cases.
Lee says the last time this happened, businesses spent almost $140,000 more on flu-related costs per 100,000 workers. But employers can fight back, says John Challenger, CEO of Challenger Gray & Christmas.
You could increase the number of shifts so that there are not as many people working together in the office. Some companies limit the number of meetings.
And Challenger says workers should still get a flu shot because doctors say even if you get the flu anyway, you carry less virus. Good news for your coworkers. Already vaccinated in Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Airbnb, the short-term house rental system, has about 1 million listings. That's more than the number of hotel rooms at chains like Hilton or Marriott. But those chains have an edge when it comes to marketing, since Airbnb's more motley collection doesn't have unified design cues or amenities. Tim Fitzsimmons reports on the challenge here.
Here's what it sounds like when you rent a place on Airbnb.
Very simple. You have your living room, dining room, kitchen.
Bob Thorson is a 26-year-old Airbnb host in Washington, D.C. Guests browse Airbnb.com, find his listing, and for $130 a night, they have a one-bedroom apartment in one of the city's coolest neighborhoods. But once you're inside, there's nothing here to show this is an Airbnb rental. Andrew Shapiro, head of brand creative teams at Airbnb, says he recognized that disconnect.
Every day, hundreds of thousands of people are traveling on Airbnb and staying in homes all over the world, and how do we actually share stories with those people who are on those travel adventures?
So this winter, Airbnb will publish its first issue of Pineapple, which will be sent to hosts and bookstores around the world. It will contain stories from three of its most popular cities, San Francisco, London, and Seoul. It's trying to address what other companies in the so-called sharing economy have faced when they make it big, moving their online success into real-world brand loyalty. Bjorn Hansen is a hospitality professor at NYU, and he says Pineapple can reinforce the idea behind the brand.
It kind of expresses how Airbnb can fit into the greater travel landscape, and that's part of the issue. People have some sense of Airbnb in general, but maybe not really how it fits in.
The area where Airbnb and its hosts haven't figured out how they fit in is with the law. New York's attorney general has set his sights on the company, which he says enables hosts to violate zoning and hotel laws. In fact, it was hard to find an Airbnb host willing to be interviewed. They said they worry about breaking the law, breaking their lease, their condo board rules, or just about irritating their neighbors. Thorson owns his place, so he's okay. But some of his fellow host friends are renters. I asked him what they do.
They try to skirt it. They just hope that they don't get found out.
So guests will soon be able to flip through Pineapple to plan their next travel adventure, even if their hosts would prefer that nobody find out that they're there. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
And a Korean Airlines executive who's also the daughter of the CEO was waiting for her flight to take off from JFK last week. Apparently, she didn't like the way her nuts were served to her. It was up in first class, so they were macadamias, but she expected the nuts on a plate, not in a bag. Annoyed, she ordered the server banished from the plane. The pilot caved to this request. The plane returned to the gate, delaying the flight today. That executive resigned. She was Korean Airlines head of in-flight services. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.